This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
We are back with another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 133. Tyler, spring training is fully underway. We've had a few games already. We've been able to see the guys back out on the field. The Yankees have been making some noise, some young prospects doing some stuff. Baseball is back somewhat in February, and now we're in March, but it means we're only 28 days when we're recording right now. Josh Donaldson days away from opening day. I know. I just had to do it. But opening day is soon, March 30th. So we're getting down to it, man. We're watching more games. Yeah. We're seeing home run. We're seeing Jose Trevino grand slams. We're seeing walk-off yesterday. We're seeing all this action from the Yankees. So it's dope to be back in the full swing of things, it seems. You know, it's still spring training, but we get to see a lot of baseball, which is good. So once we get past March Madness, not discounting that, but then we're in full baseball.
Yeah, then we're there. It felt kind of weird to me in the first couple like February games. I was like, hey, we're still in February, but ever since the calendar turned to March, Rob, right after the shortest month of the year, February, weird month, 28 days, still don't understand it. But, yeah, like you said, now it's full baseball time. We're hearing Michael Kay say, see ya, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had him on a guest in the pod a few episodes ago. So we'll be referencing him a bunch, as usual. But, yeah, dude, we are in full swing of things. Some young, hopefully, Yankees futures are shining a little bit in these last few games. But we're in a good spot moving forward, dude. Heading into our third year doing this pod, Rob. We kind of COVID year. Kind of, can we count that as a year? Half a year?
No. So I would say,
or is this
okay? 2020.
Because we did all of 2021, and 2022.
Second full season. Or
because we did all 2021, all of 2022.
Yeah, you're right.
Damn,
dude. COVID, and all that got me all out of whack.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
Right. So you're right. This is the third full season that we are doing the pod, and the audience is growing, which is really cool to see. So we have a lot of new listeners, people joining us. So that is really cool. So, yeah, dude, I'm ready to go. You said it. A lot of these young dudes are standing out.
Yep.
I'm liking what I'm seeing from Volpe, Jason Dominguez, that we'll get into. But to start it off, the big conversation that's been happening all through this first week of spring training games has been the pitch clock.
Yeah. Some people are upset, Rob. Which we knew would happen. We knew that would happen.
We knew it would happen. It's a hot button topic.
Oh yeah.
You know? It is
it's the sacred game of we want to with some people just want to have more nothing in the game. I don't think that's what people don't understand that we're eliminating. Is nothingness.
It's interesting to see the back and forth, or if there is a back and forth. I think, like, as opposed to what we were talking about with the runner on second rule last podcast, I think a lot more people are on board with the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge actually said the pitch clock is going to be a good thing for everybody. He actually compared it to the shot clock in basketball and how players will have to eventually adjust and how that was, you know, a period of time where they had to get used to it. And it's honestly going to be the same thing. I've seen the point out by other people on the internet and baseball people talking about if they actually didn't have to, the way that the clock stood out in the background, if that was taken away, I think that would be something that would help fans become more accustomed
to it. It's supposed
to
be taken away, right?
Yeah. So, and like, Yes Network had it on their thing, and they had it right under the pitcher's name or next to the pitcher's name where you would typically see the pitch count for them. And I think that's a big factor with it. But,
yeah, on the bug.
I'm right there along with Judge and talking about how it's just going to be an adjustment for both the fans and the players. I think the players seem to be coming along with it. I saw Correa the other day. He was about to step out and do his whole thing, but he immediately remembered and got back in the box and did it. And it's just going to be an adjustment, dude. And like, I really, we kill Rob Manfred. Like, we talk all this smack about Rob Manfred all the time as a baseball community and what he's doing. But I do think the pitch clock is something that will somewhat close the gap between them and other leagues, because it brings a sense of urgency to baseball that can kind of mirror those sports a little bit more. Because if you look over the decades of baseball, the way that the pitch clock is going, it's taking us back to like 70s, 80s baseball.
Yeah, faster paced game.
It's faster paced game that is in it. That's what we want to see. And that's what's going to keep people's attention throughout the games. And, you know, there are times where we like the nothingness, and it's funny when we get to hear the broadcasters.
Yeah, and hear them bullshit a little bit.
But it's like, at the end of the day, baseball has to compete with these other leagues and compete for attention. And, like, I can't blame Rob Manfred and what they're doing with this pitch clock to try and compete. That's what they're doing. So
yeah, no, I think it was definitely, you know, close to a necessity at this point in terms of what the sport needed. I mean, Rob, you just look back at some basically any Yankees Sox or Yankees Rays or Yankees Jays, any really big divisional series, it feels like, or rival series. You're talking about a four-hour game more times than not, I think. At least a 3.5-hour game. So you're talking this pitch clock, you're getting around 2.5 hours, I think, is like the consensus, 2 hours and 45 minutes for like an average nine-inning baseball game or whatever. Obviously, the pros is everything you just said. And then on top of that, I thought Boone made a pretty good point the other day. He said, hey, this is another 90 minutes or hour or half an hour or 45 minutes that we get to have Aaron Judge not on his feet. We get to have Stanton not on his feet. And I think, you know, we're in this day and age of load management and rest and yada, yada, yada. I think that's literally important to owners and managers and teams now. They're like, hey, because we see it, you know, you pull Judge in a 5-run game, a 6-run game, just to get him off his feet for half an inning. Now with this sped up pace of play, you can get him off his feet a lot more consistently. So I'm looking forward to it. I think by the time June rolls around, Rob, we're not even going to think about it anymore.
No, I think so too. And that thing that happened in the Braves-Red Sox game.
Like, that sucks.
I mean, listen. It sucks, and I'm also glad that it happened in spring training and that they'll see that, and that will then be in their mind to say, okay, we can't do this. And the argument is always, what if this happens in Game 7 of the World Series?
Well, you shouldn't let it happen.
I think at that point it's really going to be – they're going to be thinking about it just in the same way of an NBA player, a college basketball player is like – In those late games, they'll be practice. Maybe they'll start practicing these situations where it's like, okay, the shot clock is down. You have to make sure that you're prepared and ready to go. And even in baseball, it's just like you're in the box. You're getting ready to swing. I know there's a rhythm to baseball and how you get in the box and the back and forth with the pitcher. Completely understand that, but. Dude, it was just getting to an aggressive point where it was just like...
Everyone's trying to throw off the pitcher. It's like, it's just you're playing a game of chicken half the time with some of these guys.
I love A-Rod. I was a big fan of A-Rod as a Yankee fan, but could you remember the amount of times that he would step out and just flip his batting...
Oh, yeah.
Strap his batting gloves back and forth, back together, and adjust the arm guard and all that. Like,
it's a lot, dude.
It's a lot. It's it really adds up.
Yeah, I think the consensus is, at least from things I've been reading and hearing, is that this will probably favor the pitchers a little bit, at least in the beginning stages of this pitch clock, just because you see it with Garrett Cole or Max Scherzer or any pitcher that's kind of in a groove. Normally, they get the ball back from the pitcher. When a pitcher's really dealing, they want to work fast. They're in a good rhythm. And a lot of times, you know, batter's going to step out, try and throw their rhythm off, yada, yada, yada. I think now with this pitch clock, when pitchers are in their rhythm and a hitter is not able to kind of, you know, throw them off their game at all, get them off the rubber, step out of the batter's box, play games with them. I think in that scenario, it's going to throw off the offense just a little bit, at least at the beginning stages of it. But I think for the most part, it's it's pretty fair in terms of pitching it in offense. I think the only thing that might be a little tougher is I think bullpen dudes will feel it a little more because I don't think they're going to have time to recover for 90 seconds, 2 minutes at times is what it feels like in between pitches to throw 102 miles an hour every time. So I think they maybe a little Mark Burley approach here and there where they're trying to hit their spots a little more and just kind of, you know, what is it? What's the saying? Precision beats timing, but timing beats speed, something like that. They're going to be trying to hit their spots a little more instead of just trying to huck it. Like, I think Johnny Loaiza is, I think he was one of the slowest working pitchers in the league last year. So I think that's something to look out for too. Bullpen arms, because they're a different breed over there than starters, I think. I think it'll hit them a little different.
Yeah. I mean, we've already seen it sort of beginning. I saw a video the other day of a dude for the Astros. What's his name?
Pitcher?
Sorry, I'm just blanking. Yeah, pitcher. I'm just looking for his name right now. Oh, Luis Garcia.
Yeah.
Very good pitcher, yeah, but do you remember how his complete windup that he would like step forward, step back, go back, and then pitch? And it completely changed around. It was a side-by-side video of him in the playoffs last year versus now in spring
training. He changed his delivery?
Completely wow. Different, yeah. Or not, just way less. And I just, like, thought to myself, I mean, I don't know.
These are things we're not going to have to kind of
these
deal
are the things
with,
that we don't really need, but I don't know how much it'll play into his rhythm, and I understand that. And I will say, like, you mentioned – you know, player's rhythm in the box. Like, when I watch the Yankees and we see Stanton or Judge,
they're ready
to
hit, dude.
They're always ready to hit. And I even sometimes get frustrated. I'm like, dude, step out.
Like, you're giving me anxiety right now.
I don't think it's going to affect the Yankees as much. I'm trying to think of Yankee hitters that really do that. Like, DJ stays
I feel like
in
Rizzo's
there.
In the box, too. He's right on top of the plate, bro.
Yeah, so I don't think it's really going to affect this Yankees roster right now. We don't have any guys that are
just kind of nitpicking, you know, and stuff the whole time.
Doing all that. So I think for us as Yankee fans, I don't think it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But we'll have to obviously see how the season progresses.
Exactly. And I think just from a fan's perspective, and then we can move on, Rob, is like I said to you right before we got on this pod, I was like, bro, I don't know if I'm going to buy MLB TV this year because I don't have enough time to watch the Yankees and watch other teams. Dude, I might have time to watch other teams now because I'm not watching the Yankees for 4.5 hours on June 10th. Like, I could play Detroit, you know? So it might give me some time to watch more than one game a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually just got charged for MLB TV, so I forgot I had it on automatic renew, so I'll be doing it again this year, which I don't mind. All right, so we alluded to it before, talking about these young studs for the Yankees that are showing out. Dude, Anthony Volpe so far has looked very impressive to me in spring training, fielding and with his speed. He hasn't really done so much with the bat. He's kind of slapping some base hits here and there around. But what I see, at least for me, fielding-wise, is very good things. And I think the Yankees are also seeing it as well. We know that Brian Cashman came in and sort of motivated him before and kind of talked to him on the phone and said, hey, like, you have a real
chance.
I don't know how much I actually believe Cashman saying that. It's more of a motivation thing. But, dude, he looks very, very good. Yep. And it's refreshing, like, to see up the middle, especially when he's playing shortstop, to see his arm action and see how he's throwing to the bags. And he looks like a ball player, and he looks like a quality shortstop. And, like, the speed, too, is really just encouraging.
Yeah, I think he stole, like, forgive me if I'm wrong, close to 50 bags last year.
Yeah, and the one against the Blue Jays where he stole second, stole third, I'm like, dude, we could use that.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the only questions in Volpe's game, which very minimal questions to begin with because, as we know, he is the Yankees' top prospect, was his ability to play shortstop in comparison to Oswald Peraza because Peraza, you know, apparently has a glove that is – already above average at the major league level. So I think it was, I think Volpe was always compared to in that sense. And we've thrown around here too, like, oh, maybe he'll play third, maybe he'll play second. Maybe he'll end up at short, Rob, actually. Who knows? But yeah, I'm very excited to see these kids continue to move. I think there's a chance that we see Volpe in the majors this year. I'd be very excited, but hey, kid, you got another month to go, so force their hand. That's what I feel like we say that all the time, but that's what we got to kind of continue to hone in on. If you play well, I do think they'll give you a chance. I don't know if it's, I'm kind of talking to all the kids here, minus Jason, because I don't think he's going to make an impact in the league this year. He's just too young. But in terms of Volpe and Peraza, force their hand, dude, because IKF ain't going to do it. We know that.
Yeah. That's what we got to ask for. Like to see Peraza, as I told you, I'd like to see Peraza a little bit more this spring play. I know he played today, or he's playing today. And there's obviously still a month left, but really, hopefully they could force the hand and especially Peraza and trying to get that opening day shortstop bid is what I'd be hoping for.
I still think it's his to lose, but I don't know. And Volpe did actually get exactly 50 bags last year. Imagine if he just stole 30 for us. Like, that'd be awesome.
That would be quite the impact if it comes up later. That'd be something.
Bigger bases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the bigger bases as well. That hasn't been as much of a infuriating topic to the baseball masses, at least from what I've seen. So, all right, Jason Dominguez also too. He had a home run against the Phillies in that second spring training game, or second or third spring training game. He also had a hit I saw the other day against Detroit. And dude, he looks like a specimen out there. He's a big dude. He's cranking homers. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he's not going to be up here this year, but he's going to be in the mix next year. And it's important for him. Yeah, he's around the dudes. He's around the Yankees right now. These are guys that he'll eventually, hopefully, be playing with one day. So, we've heard about him, the Martian, and you hear opposing broadcasts.
The Bryce Harper comparison. Mike Trout, I mean, he's been... You know, that dude in terms of coming up, like, he's been that guy that I don't know what I'm trying to reference here, but literally like Bryce Harper type of hype.
Their stud young guy that has been touted for a while. And too, it's like he at a portion of time in single A, he had a bit of a rough period, mm-hmm. but now he's kind of picked it up. So
still 20 years
how
old,
he'll adjust dude. To. How he'll adjust to time in Somerset is to be seen. But like we said, hopefully, you know, is it too much to ask that maybe he can make the AAA team this year? I don't think so. If he's playing like this and like what he's doing in spring mm-hmm. against these close to major league talent guys and being around these groups of major leaguers, then I don't see why he can't. So,
bro, Jason Dominguez was born in 2003.
That's crazy that now, like, we're seeing players that are young.
We're 24, dude. This guy's 20. Wild.
Yeah. Crazy.
He's got, he's definitely got he's got time, though. Like, think of it. Even if he develops for 2 years, like two full years of development, I don't know. I'm very excited for Jason this camp and obviously moving forward, though.
Mm-hmm. Interesting development that came out a while, or maybe last week, was the Yankees said that they're heavily considering using Aaron Judge in left field to give Stanton playing time in right, mainly because right field in Yankee Stadium is an easier play than left.
Left is huge in Yankee Stadium, dude.
Left is a tough ask, especially for a guy that's had injury troubles. But I don't mind the idea at all, man. Judge showed last year that he could play anywhere. Yeah. And we know that when Stanton is in the field, he actually performs better with the bat. Mm-hmm. And we want him to be active and doing stuff. And finally, the Yankees warmed up to that last year and started playing him. So, and now, of course, with Bader, it makes it all easier. Because if, you know, if we're operating before the Bader-Montgomery trade, we'd be like, no chance we can do that.
We'd be like, then Hicks would be in center.
And it's, you're just saying, eh. So, What did you think of it?
I mean, I'm happy about it, dude. I guess. Actually, I don't really even know if I can say I'm happy about it, to be honest, because there is a...
You're very interested to see.
Yes, I'm very interested. There is a part of me where it's just like, classic Yankees, dude, playing people out of position. And listen, I'm always for, like, there's a part of me that's for it sometimes, like, you know, bopping DJ around, but... It's Judge, so it really shouldn't matter. And it's right field versus left field. I mean, yes, he'll have to, in theory, cover more ground, which we know he can do since he played a bazillion at, like, what, 60 games in center last year or something like that. But then I'm like, we're shuffling, you know, we're shuffling people around again. And that's kind of annoying. But also, if it actually means that Giancarlo can play, like, if in some world – Giancarlo can play 75 games in right field, which is essentially every other game almost. Like, that's a fucking huge W, dude. And there's also a part of me that is like, hey, are we thinking about putting Judge in left field because we really don't have a left fielder and they don't want to play Hicks, so now they want to get more out of Stanton in the outfield just to eliminate Hicks at all on the playing field? Or is this strictly just to get Giancarlo on his feet and take him out of left? I don't really know. But I feel... Is it a possibility that it could be a mix of both, Rob? Like trying to get Hicks out of there, but also trying to get Stanton on his feet?
Yeah, I honestly think it is a mix of both. Actually, Aaron Boone, I don't know if you saw the update, but Boone said that there's a chance that IKF can be playing some outfield this year, which is...
Oh, God. Okay. Why? Why? Why do we need to do that?
But we know that... We know Stanton back in Miami was playing a majority in right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw I think I posted something on Instagram and someone commented that just like inherently triggered me, and he was like, "Why do we need Stanton out there? He can't even play the position well.
There's a couple times he looked rough last year, but I mean that's granted he gets thrown in when he hasn't played in 3 months.
So he had like the misplay that people reference in Houston, but
he had a couple of like dives that he might shouldn't have had to dive for, but nothing
that
huge.
That didn't cost them that game, like that Houston stuff. I don't even think they got a run that inning, so I just disregard that. And also, too, there were moments where you could highlight him. I think there was a throw in Tampa where he threw out a runner at second. There was some at the stadium where, like, I think he can hold his own.
For sure.
And if, like, he's not going to be playing, like, I'll get into it later because it ties into one of our other topics. But he started 38 games last year in 2022 in the outfield. Like, if he's between 40 and 60, like, that, I don't think that's going to hurt you that much. I want him in the outfield because I know that him being active and moving around and doing that benefits his hitting.
Yeah.
Like, it's just – we saw the numbers last year. Like,
it's a statistical fact.
Yes. Like, he is better when he does that. So, and two, I mean, I could be mean and just say, like, well, you know, what are we getting from Hicks in the outfield?
Yeah.
You know, we saw those misplays. So, you could say
– It's very true.
Are you really falling off that much? So, like, listen –
I don't have a problem with Stanton and Wright at all.
When you have Judge and Bader out there helping him, or quote unquote helping him, and also controlling the outfield, like, I'm fine with that. Plus, I think Stanton doesn't get enough credit for that. He can hold his own, and he's got an arm. Played the first in my
It's not like he's got to cover a lot of ground in right, really, at all.
Yeah,
I mean, Bader's got Miami, all of right center probably. He's just
exactly
behind you in the wall.
And in Miami, it's not like he was just completely just.
Bro, I want to go as far as to say, like, he was a Gold Glove nominee at some point in Miami.
Well, now we're gonna have to search it.
I'm searching it right now. Gold Glove nominee. I could be wrong, but
I don't know, man. I just I
yeah they were finalists for the. The Gold Glove Award, or he was,
Stanton
in 2019. Oh, wait, not 2019. I'm so sorry. But, yes, sometime in Miami, along with Dee
Gordon. So, to answer your question, like, if it means to get Hicks out of the outfield and have an outfield of Bader, Judge and Stanton. Also, that then allows DJ to DH at times, which would also be good to get him off his feet in the field. If they can do it, fully open to it, and I think that they should.
I'm with it, dude.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, Yanks haven't had a left fielder. As long as Judge doesn't look weird out there, which odds of that happening are next to nothing.
I mean, we had concerns when he went to center, and he just absolutely – he's an athlete, and he just, you know
– He's that dude.
He's able to – he covered that much more ground – and you cover that much more ground in center, and then I know left field is challenging.
It's just a different look.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'll look forward to it. It's just – it's always weird with the Yankees and these things because we never know exactly what it means. It's always like, hey, we're thinking about doing this or we're going to try this. We're like
– Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. No, it's always It's always –
Oh, I forgot. Nothing matters until October. That's how we roll. We just – this is all just a trial run for the next 6 months in hopes.
Some news updates. Ben Roethlisberger is to miss at least a month after an aneurysm of his posterior artery near his left shoulder.
I did not
see
this,
that was
dude.
Scary.
When was this?
So it was last week.
God,
but it was a pretty you know, kind of crazy update. And he with the bizarre injury, he was just saying like it sucks for him because he really wants to get out there, and I think that there is an opportunity for him to play at some point. I know the Yankees have their Higgy and Trevino, which I'm fully
fine. Third catcher on the depth chart. You're going to get time at some point.
Yeah, so you're going to get time. And it sucks because, he's a big dude. It looks like we haven't seen him on the Yankees, but he looks to be a quality athlete or more than quality athlete.
The dude's jacked.
Absolute rocket arms, you know. So, yeah, it really sucks to see him go down, as well as Austin Wells fractured the 12th rib, who is also one of their catching prospects.
Who we saw in person, Rob.
Yeah, we did see him in Somerset.
Nice,
that'll
nice
be
mustache.
Missing action 6 to 8 weeks as well. So, yeah, some those were some of the blows that we saw from spring training injury-wise. So we'll have to see. I really just for his like just to root for the guy. Like it is really making me root for Roethlisberger to just see him on the roster at least at some point this season.
Yeah,
so
I want
to
see him play, dude. They acquired him. I mean, imagine if we've said this a couple times, but if Roethlisberger doesn't get injured last year, Jose Trevino might not be a Yankee. So they acquired him with the hope of playing him in the show. So. That's
also
bizarre.
Higgy, don't get hurt in the WBC, please, because then we don't have another catcher.
Yeah, then we're grasping at straws. Eric Kratz, where you at?
I think maybe we'll save this for through this topic, but Clark and Domingo have both looked very good during their spring training starts. I want Clark looked really good. I think he struck out like 5. I know Domingo pitched yesterday.
New cutter,
struck out about 3. So they both are looking to battle for that fifth starter spot in the spring. So that is going to be a development to keep our eyes on. I can't wait to see. Sevy also pitched. He got rocked, but that's like a yearly tradition of him in spring
training. Same with Cole. He'll get rocked at some point too. Remember one game.
I want to see Carlos pitch a little bit in pinstripes, though, since they're wearing the pinstripes. I can't wait to see that.
Why do they do? They always do that at the beginning of the spring training, right? Why is that? Is that just like a media thing?
Like they're like, what if they wear pinstripes?
Yeah,
because
they don't do it the whole camp.
No, I think they just kind of like
they're just like, all right, let's see the fellas in the pinstripes.
Yeah, I don't. I've always said this. I know it'll probably make some listeners mad, but I always thought that they should wear the blues as like an alternate at some point during the season.
I freaking love those, dude.
I think they're just simple, clean, whatever. Like, and I've always been like, I love the pinstripes. I'm not.
Or just give me the all black from London.
Just like people like those. I will sometimes post them here. Those like people love those. I want like they came out with some of the City Connect stuff. For MLB, like some leaks or whatever, and like the Yankees still haven't gotten anything, but like I would just like to see like a little change up because I love to see the boys in some different uniforms. Like I love the pinstripes, I love the road unis, but I don't know. I think they should incorporate something.
No, I'm with you there. I don't think they will because it's the Yankees. We're late to trends and not fun.
I love the Yankees. I love them, but I just don't get that sometimes.
They're trying to appease the older folks.
But it just but it also just makes them come off a bit snobby.
It does, yeah. It's like, oh, we can't take off the pinstripes.
People were outraged over the Nike logo being on
like,
the jerseys.
Go be mad about, I don't know, the weather or something. Global warming.
I don't get it.
Whatever.
But yeah, they had their media day the other day too, which was they took all their photos. We got to see Rodon, and Rodon's rocking the mean mustache. Yeah. All the boys actually got mustaches.
Rodon's gonna be a perfect Yankee, dude.
Rodon, Nestor.
I saw they did post something of everyone with the mustache on, their mustaches. There was like 8 of them, I think, like a good amount of them that were rocking stashes. Trevino have a stash, or am I bugging? Nah, he doesn't have a stash. No. All right, now so I gotta find this.
They've been going hard on the stashes. Yeah. Though, which I gotta respect it because you know they're.
Did Nestor
I'm
start
sure
that?
Plenty of them. Well, I mean, with this Yankee group,
I'm not saying, not in, like, all of baseball. But
Greg Weissert also has a pretty solid mustache. I'm trying to think who else
I swear they posted something with all the stashes, but I'm not finding it.
Stanton sometimes grows out his stash when it gets into the season. He'll get, like, the little
Yeah, he gets a little scruffy, Stan. Cole looks like he got a pretty serious haircut I saw the other day in one of his photos.
Yeah. I've always thought when he's always grown out his hair a little bit longer than, like, I always thought the Yankees would allow you to. I don't know. But so maybe they're getting a little lenient after they gave him
that
million
contract. That would be so annoying if they did that. Hey, man. Hey, Garrett, your hair is looking a little – how does that conversation go, Rob?
There was a rumor – I don't know how much stock I put into it, but there was a rumor that the Yankees or Luis Castillo didn't want to come to the Yankees because you'd have to cut his
I wouldn't
hair.
Doubt it. If I was Luis Castillo, I wouldn't want to come here either. If I had to cut my damn hair, I'd probably be grown. He'd probably grew it for like 5 years. I wouldn't want to come either.
So that was the big
trade
rumor.
Me to Seattle. They don't boo me there.
Emotional damage bringing up that.
Hey, man, at least we got Frankie Montas. Battling for that 8th spot in October. Sorry, I'm just mean.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. So we have a new segment that I think we'll probably try and do before each season. We're going to call it the Savages Player Expectations. So for this year, we're calling it the 2023 Savages Player Expectations. So we'll kind of run through position groups or just position players, starting pitchers, bullpen arms, as well as a last of who could kind of make or break the Yankees season this year. Mostly we're going to look at it from like a regular season perspective because once we get into the postseason, that's a whole another animal.
Different game.
Completely different game. So the first one that we'll do is stick into position players and say, which position player do we believe can ultimately determine the success of the 2023 Yankees? So Tyler, I'll let you go first. Because I think yours will be very important.
Yeah.
I think so.
So my player, Rob, who I think can ultimately determine the Yankee success of 2023, I do think it's a healthy DJ LeMahieu. If you just look back at his stats, Rob, the last couple of years, last year, 734 OPS, 2021, we knew not a great season. He had that sports hernia in his core or whatever, or near his oblique, that deterred him for a lot of the season. And last year he had the broken toe, which he has stated is 100% now. I guess we'll believe that. But last 2 years, Rob, 2021, DJ LeMahieu, 711 OPS, whatever. And last year, 734 OPS, again, whatever. I do think those numbers are misleading just because if you look at last year, Rob, before DJ broke his toe, I think it was sometime in the summer. I can't remember the month right now. But he legitimately had a 400 on-base percentage in front of Judge. And I think the dynamic that a 400 OBP and the bat-to-ball skills that DJ has and the ability to work the count and not make Aaron Judge lead off and put Judge or Stanton or Rizzo in a position with runners on, I think that just makes the lineup go. Obviously, we're talking from a sense that he has to be healthy because he has shown when he's banged up, he's not going to produce to the same level that a healthy DJ LeMahieu does. But, dude, I'm telling you, I think if we get 130 games of a healthy DJ LeMahieu doing what he does best, just getting on base, even if he's hitting 260, 270, if you're getting on base at a 380 clip, 400 clip, 400 clip is insane, dude. That's crazy good. If he can do that for the majority of the year and cement himself in that leadoff spot, we've talked about this as well, Rob. Yanks don't have a leadoff hitter, really. We don't even know where DJ fits on this team positionally. If he can cement himself and be healthy, I think it's a totally different team. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I would agree, definitely. It's gonna be interesting the way that he fits in. I know it foreshadows one of the other things I'll talk about
him,
a little later. But my player that I think will ultimately kind of determine the success and you know, outside of Aaron Judge, because when we're talking about this, we know the guy coming off. We didn't want to go easy and just say talk about Judge. And
yeah, that's no
so
fun.
That's why we kind of it's no fun. It's too easy to go with that. So I'm gonna go with the other bopper. The guy I'm everyone knows that has been listening to this. I'm a stan for Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, yeah. And I think if Giancarlo Stanton plays between 130, 135, 140 games in 2023, the Yankees will be successful. Like flat out. I think if he is on the field, he has shown if he's playing that amount of games, he is producing. That he's shown that in his career. I know he goes through lulls where he struggles and his swing looks ugly at times. I get it. But if he's playing that amount of games in 2023, the Yankees are going to be a good team. Like, and then once we get to the postseason, we'll have to talk about that. But if in terms of regular season success, I think if he's on the field, the Yankees are a favorite to win the division, and I think that this is going to be a good ball club for the regular season. And like we were talking about it earlier, if he plays between say 40, 60 of those games in the outfield, like that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. That's a huge bonus, but that's also like that allows you to do a lot of different shifting and not, you know, not have Hicks playing in the outfield at times, shifting around.
Get Waldo in there maybe.
Get Waldo, allow DJ to DH some days. Like that is a huge factor. Yeah. Because last year, they really didn't start playing him in the outfield until maybe like late June, July time, and then he ended up getting hurt. But we know that he produces better statistically when he is on the mm-hmm. field when he then hits. Like, he hits better when he's on the field playing in the outfield. And I just think, like, last year was his worst year by OPS. His OPS was .759, the lowest of his career mm-hmm. With qualified games. But the dude still hit. Like he missed a portion of time, and I think he was playing with a bad. I think it was it Achilles or hand? I think it was.
Yeah, Achilles, it was the Achilles. It's weird when he gets little injuries like that. It throws off the timing of everything because it takes him, like you said, a little bit to get in the swing of things. But when he's in it, it's tough to get him out.
Yeah, and he still hit 31 home runs and 78 RBI. So if you're telling me he's playing 135, 140 games, if he's doing that, like I'm sorry. He's probably hitting close to 35, 40 home runs and close between 90 and 100 RBIs. That's what his career numbers have told us, and I really don't expect less because I understand he had the injuries last year, but I'm telling you, if he is healthy for that amount of time, the Yankees will be good this season. Like
that's fair. Rob, he hit 31 home runs in 110 games last year, and I think the biggest knock on Stanton last year is – you know, the average is at 211. We can live. I think we've learned we will live with that for the most part, especially in today's day and age. I think Rizzo was around 220, 230 last year, something like that. Like you said, his OPS, Rob, was at .759. His slugging was .462. It's pretty good, like in terms of the league at all, when you're comparing his slugging percentages throughout the league. .462 is a good slugging percentage. The only thing that was a big drop off was the on base percentage, .297. That's terrible, like very bad. So I really think with this pitch clock, Rob, you let Stanton get in a rhythm where a pitcher can't F with his head, and dude's going to be able to know when the ball is coming out of his hands, or he's going to at least be able to time it up a little better. I guarantee that that on-base percentage will be higher, thus bringing the OPS up, thus happier Yankee fans with a producing Giancarlo Stanton. So that's my recipe. Pitch clock, good for Giancarlo. Equals good season.
I totally agree, dude. Totally agree. But if he's on the field, I think this team is good.
100%.
Even if he's not and he's missing time,
team can still be good. It'll be better.
Yeah, they can still be good, but they will be that much better. And then I really have no concerns of, you know, just get that man on the field in October and we watch him.
Watch him bang. How old is Stan now? I'm gonna guess before I look it up.
33.
I was gonna say 35. Okay.
Oh well, now he's. I think he's 30.
When he is 33. You're right.
Oh, so his birthday must have been in like December or in the off season sometime, because this is age 32 season last year, whatever.
Oh, dude, I just type in Stanton age, and then I'm looking at all the Yankees. I'm like Judge, Rizzo, Bader, Glaber, Cole, Donaldson. Get off the team.
That's why we need the young guys. Yeah. That's why we need the young guys.
Get off the team.
All right, dude, let's shift to the pitching.
Yep. Let's do it.
So which starting pitcher can determine the success of the 2023 Yankees and ultimately have a statement season? I'll go first.
Go for it.
I think that Luis Severino is in a contract year. He came into the season, and I think he had a quote where he was talking about how he came in with a new training regimen, kind of was watching his diet a little bit more. You know, would probably wish that would happen more often, but obviously he's extra motivated this year, but he still had a good year last year, so I can't knock him. But he's extra motivated even more so this year because he wants to get paid in the last year of his deal. And like, I really think he could build off last year in a great way. And I mean, we would go,
he had a good year last year, Rob, when he was pitching.
Dude,
a good year.
He had a good year, Tyler, and we forget, before we had the signings of Cole and Rodon and then the Nestor emergence, Luis Severino was the ace of this New York Yankees.
Yeah, before Cole, yeah.
And we watched them last year, and he had some really, really good stuff.
102 innings of really good pitching, Rob. When you look at it from a broad scale, it really was a good season for him.
Yeah.
I think he would have signed up for it last year, talking about it in February.
Absolutely, and I really think with the aspect that he is now extra motivated because of the contract, I think he's going to go out and try and really surpass that innings limit, but the innings that he pitched last year, and he's going to just be very good.
Yeah.
And I think if he is very good this year, this Yankees pitching staff is really lethal, really, really lethal. Like, because you're expecting Rodon to be very good and expecting Cole to do what he's done for his past years as a Yankee. Hopefully the Nestor injury won't be as concerning, and we've seen him throw off the mound a little bit more. But, like, if Severino goes out and is a dog, you don't want to face that Yankees pitching staff.
He's the most emotional pitcher probably on our team, too. Sevy Roars, we know all about that, so... Dude, I'm fired up for Sevy. I think the only thing with Sevy is, like you said, he's in a contract year, so I think it might be a little different. But, and we talked about this last year. There were a couple times where you know, it'd come out that he's hurting or something, and then he'd say after his injury, oh, yeah, well, I didn't, like, tell anyone for a couple days. And then it gets worse.
Yeah, we can't have
it's
that
like
happen.
That shit cannot happen. Like, let's just be honest, and let's be in it for, you know, obviously yourself and the team, but... Let's just stay on the mound, dude. Hey, Sevy goes out and throws 140 innings this year and does exactly what he does last year. I don't think there's a question. He is the best four starter in baseball by far.
No.
If he does anything close to what he did last year and pitches 140 innings.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a dog this year with the extra motivation, which we saw from Judge. We saw what that did for him.
This whole staff, I think they got a swagger to them, dude, including the pen.
Yeah, and I think Luis has got he's got that same element in him as Judge, and he wears a little bit more on his sleeve, obviously, with the emotion, but I think he's going to go out. But
I'm fired up.
Who'd you have as your choice?
So I want to start this off by saying I firmly believe Rodon and Cole are obviously – they are the wheels to this, I don't know, this bus or whatever you want to call it.
It would be too easy.
They are the two dudes, and one of them will win the American League Cy Young Award this year. I don't care which one. One of them will win. I have a feeling it'll be Garrett. But, Rob, I really think Clark, I think he's about to blossom this year. So, starting pitcher that can determine the success of this season, Rob, from a depth perspective and how good he can be, I think people forget Clark Schmidt was a top Yankees pitching. Clark Schmidt was a top pitching prospect for the Yankees for some time. He obviously still is. He's bringing in a new cutter into camp this year. He K'd 5 of the 6 batters he faced the other day. I think he's in it to win it in terms of this little rotation battle with Domingo Herman. So I think with that new cutter proving to be effective so far in spring training, obviously it's just spring training, and then just more development of that 12-6 curveball that is disgusting, and not really having to stress. We've seen Clark Schmidt pretty much in only scenarios that do not benefit him in any way or set him up for any success. That's pretty much all we've seen Clark as. You come in and you pitch with a runner on second in extra innings and try and get them out, or we're going to be mad at you. Or you come out of the bullpen and you're in a sticky situation. This dude is a starter. Put this guy in the five hole or the fifth rotation spot. Let him go out there and bang for a little bit. And I think a lot of Yanks fans will be happy. He'll have no pressure on him from the five hole. I think it's an opportunity for him to blossom. And like I said with Seve. Seve can easily be the best four starter. If Clark can do his thing in the five, I don't even think it's a question, Rob, that the Yankees have the deepest starting five in the league. Best, most talented, whatever, I don't care. They're the deepest. I don't even think that's close. Frankie Montas or not. So I got Clark Schmidt, dude. I'm fired up to watch him pitch this year.
The fifth starting spot is going to be very intriguing to see. I think it will be determined, at least for, you know, April and May and like early on in the season. We'll have to see it develop throughout the rest of the year.
They might do the six man thing too for a little bit. We don't know.
Yeah. So Clark came up as the top. He was the top pitching prospect for the Yankees at one point.
I couldn't say it either.
But you know,
and then Devy falls off. So then it was like only Clark, and then Clark got hurt. He had UCL surgery or something like that.
Yeah. So I'm definitely not as like sold on him as a lot of like you are and other Yankee fans, but he does have quality stuff, and it would not surprise me at all for him to thrive in the fifth spot. You know, I think him and Domingo are kind of like same echelon of pitchers, really. Yeah. But I do think
Domingo's kind of more of a contact pitcher. Clark's gonna try and K you.
Yeah, I think Clark has like a slight higher ceiling, but like not really, just only because we haven't seen him in a everyday starter role since.
Yeah.
Like, Domingo had that opportunity in 2018 where he was.
I think we know what we're getting with Domingo Herman.
Yeah, we know what
he's. Which is not bad. It's not bad.
And that it's a quality pitcher, but I get what you're saying of like there is room to grow with Clark.
I think this is the year to do in with the men in front of him. This is the year for him to do it.
Yeah, if he's going to do it, it has to be this year.
Because even if
whether or not it happens,
even if he doesn't get the you know fifth starter spot, quote unquote, or whatever, you know, knock on wood, hopefully no one gets hurt. Obviously, someone's going to get hurt, so he's going to have an opportunity to pitch. You know, 5-6 starts in a row. There will be that. I do believe there will be that opportunity. Pending his injury or, you know, potential injuries. I think it's kind of a wait and see game, but like you said, I think maybe Clark's floor is a little lower than Domingo's, but I think his ceiling is higher. And it's kind of a go out and show it, dude. Same type of vibe as the positional kids, Volpe and Peraza and Jason and them. Go out and bang, dude. It's your time. I think Clark's been kind of lost in the system for a little bit, lost in injuries, lost in all the nonsense. So it could be a big year for him. But I was tempted to go with Nestor because if Nestor does what Nestor did last year, you have legitimately three Cy Young candidates.
One of the best staffs in your Yankees history. Yes.
So if I mean the easy choice could be Nestor, because if he does it, you have three number ones, literally. So, but we like to have fun. We like to make it a little stretch, Rob.
We do. All right. A bullpen arm that could be a major factor for the pen. I'll let you go first since I went first with
seven. Alrighty. I kind of have two here, Rob. Just because
I can't cheating.
I can't talk about just one. all right. Can I talk about both of them real quick?
Yeah.
No, so number one, Jonathan Weisgood, dude. Numbers last year do not look good. 4.413 ERA, negative 0.5 WAR. Weirdly enough, he's coming off the best season of his career by far, where he led all relief pitchers in WAR in the year 2021. He got off to an absolutely dreadful, disgusting, terrible start in 2022. I think he had like a 10 ERA for like half, you know, 2 months or something. He really got off to a bad start. He came to life in the postseason in August and September. So I think that's what we're going to see the majority of this year. And I think if Loaiza can get back to being his 2021 self, I mean, there's not too many guys that are hitting that over the course of a full year. But then my second one, Rob, me cheating here, is Tommy Canley, dude. He really hasn't pitched more than those 12 innings of the Dodgers last year since he was with the Yankees. So the Yankees let him go when he got hurt. They say, hey, go rehab somewhere. Maybe you'll make a postseason appearance for someone. And he did that. And then he came right back to the Yankees, which is awesome. Tommy Canley, good pitcher. Rob, tight pants. Throws a changeup and a fastball primarily. Lives on that changeup, as we all know. So you want to talk about Wandy Peralta from the right side? That's Tommy Canley. So that's where I'm coming from in terms of Tommy tight pants. He's a clubhouse dude. He's a leader. So I think that's my X. Laza is my X factor. Tommy Canley has the ability to weirdly end up very high in the bullpen trust tree at the end of the year for me, potentially.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Tommy was injury, you know, had injuries last year. So
yeah.
We'll have to see. Hopefully, you know, I think being back in an environment he knows is like the best thing for mm-hmm. him. So that'll be good to have that like support system that he's been used to. But Loaiza, dude, we saw him pick it back up in the playoffs mm-hmm. a bit. And I don't know about you, but what we saw of like the kind of crumble of Clay Holmes towards August.
I'm scared still.
Like nothing would make me happier if Jonathan Loaiza just went out and just
took the job,
closer role, took the job, and he goes out and is what people, like when we saw him in 2021, they were talking about how electric, how electric his stuff is and how like his ceiling and how good of a pitcher he can really be, and we've seen it. And then obviously at the start of 2022,
yeah,
he took
start.
That bad stretch.
And then he got hurt.
He got hurt. But, like, nothing would make me happier than if Loaiza went out and just took the closer role. Because I like Clay Holmes, but what we saw last year was a bit like, ooh, okay. Like, I don't know.
I hear
so
you.
I would be fully open if Loaiza, because he's a younger guy, he's got some electric stuff, and he has the potential in him. If he goes out, especially early and throughout the rest of this year, and like takes the closer role, like go do it, dude.
Is it bad that I didn't say Michael King, dude? Now that I'm thinking about it, like
no, it's not. I mean,
he
like Michael King
do it too.
He could also do it. He could also.
They got a lot of guys, dude. Where
they do
didn't feel like we had this many in the playoffs, but that's a lot of them were hurt. But Ron Marinaccio, Rob, Jesus.
I thought you were going to take Ron, honestly. That's been the trendy pick for a lot of people.
I mean, damn. This bullpen can bang, Rob.
Oh, yeah. They can.
With the mightiest.
So my choice of, I guess we'll call it X-factor bullpen or major factor for the pen. I think really all year, and this is more of like a longevity thing, is how well Wandy Peralta has pitched since he came over. Like,
mm-hmm.
do you remember when the Yankees made the trade?
It was like a joke
for him. And it was like, one, people were somewhat outraged that they got rid of Mike Tauchman. And they didn't even give Wandy a chance. And now Wandy is one of our most, like, one of our best relievers and a guy that you can, I call him like a Swiss Army reliever because I'm fully comfortable with him in long relief situations. Yep. And we saw what he did in the playoffs.
So much high leverage last year, Rob.
He was the most valuable bullpen arm, I believe, in the playoffs last mm-hmm. year. For what he did in that Cleveland series was unbelievable. How much he pitched and the
pitched like
and
four like straight. Said, yeah, like some ridiculous like that.
He can do the long relief, and he could also. I'm fully comfortable with him going in critical situations and pitching, and that's why I think he's so important throughout the entire season, because there are going to be guys that go down. There's going to be things that happen. The Yankees are going to face adversity. But, like, Wandy Peralta has, like, a cool, calm sense about him that I just, like, everyone loves him. Oh, Wandy yeah. Vision. Like, everyone loves Wandy. He's a fun-looking guy. Like, he's a cool dude. And, you know, you see him smiling on the dugout and stuff. Like, a lot of Yankee fans, or I would say all Yankee fans love him. But he's going to be, just throughout the entire season, is going to be just very important for this pen in just so many different spots. So
he's one of the only lefties, too.
Yeah, and he's one of the only lefties in the pen. So Wandy is going to be a huge factor all year. And, like, I call him, like, the backbone of the bullpen is the way that I would look at
yeah.
it. I really would call him the backbone of the bullpen because, like, that, like, Wandy, like, the way that he goes out, it's very similar to, like, the way that I felt about Nestor. Like, he goes out and he pitches, and, like, it looks like he's just ready yeah. for anything. He's like, oh,
nothing to lose here. Yeah.
I have nothing to lose. I'm going to go out here and I'm just going to pitch. And that's what he did in the 2022 postseason. Uh-huh. Like, that's just the way that he carries himself. And I just love
I'm
it.
I'm fired.
Like,
up.
Wandy. Hey, dude, I love Wandy Peralta. Yeah. That's my guy.
He's very much one of the most likable Yankees.
Easily.
I'm kicking myself for right. not picking Mike King, honestly, dude.
I thought you were going to go with Marinaccio, dude. But
him, too.
It is what it is.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Last one of the Savage's player expectations is which player on the roster can dramatically uplift the 2023 Yankees with a good or great season, or completely on the flip side, hold the Yankees back. So I'm actually going with Tyler's pick, and it's not because of the way that DJ LeMahieu has played mm-hmm. And on the opposite side of the spectrum. It's more just relates to health. But like Tyler said, DJ, in any capacity that he plays, when he's in the lineup, and we know that he is moved around a lot, and, you know, third, second, sometimes first base, like he's a DH, sometimes he's just a Swiss Army knife. We know it at this mm-hmm. point. But when he's in the lineup, the Yankees flow that much better. Yeah. And it's more of like how long is he going to be able to be in? We need him for the postseason because we haven't had him in the past 2 years in the postseason. Like, that's where it's like, okay, could he hold the Yankees back of saying, oh, if we don't have him at the end of the year, it's like, you know, this isn't really like the Yankees' full effort or the full squad. Because when he's leading off or he's just wherever he is in the lineup, it makes such a big difference. And just the biggest question comes down to health. Mm-hmm. And my confidence level with the health is just really concerning, and I just don't know what, because I don't know how they're gonna play him this year.
Neither do I.
If there could be a situation where he's really only playing four times a week, whereas before he was playing five, six games mm-hmm. a week. I really could see them playing him only three to four times a week. And I just really have a serious question of in what capacity can he play. Particularly, I know a lot of Yankee fans, I know including yourself, are saying, okay, I would really like him to play third base every day. I just don't think he can really do it every day.
I think, like, he can do it, though. I don't think they're going to.
No, I think, it's not a matter of can he do it, is if, like, physically, can he do it? I still, like, I'm saying it now. Like, I really don't think all year, like, when people say, oh, we'll see comments of saying, oh, I want him to play more games than Josh Donaldson at third base. Yes, I would too in a perfect world.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a smart move, and it's one of the reasons why I think Josh Donaldson will be extended longer this year than we'd really like him to, simply because he plays third at a high level and then obviously the bat. But like,
is third that much more taxing on the body than second base? I wouldn't think so.
Dude, they started playing DJ at third more often in these past 2 years, and then the injuries happened.
Yeah, that is true, but I don't know. The toe one's got to be a fluke. Like, what the hell is that?
That's my only thing.
It's a fair point.
I would love if he played third all the time, and he could play it healthy. Like, that is a great third baseman. I just don't think that. I really think it's concerning.
That's fair.
Of what he's going to do. And that you posted something the other when I like joked at where you were like, how many games will DJ play at DH? Now I'm really really thinking about it. I'm saying like maybe like that's why we need Stan in the outfield. And we need DJ DHing a good amount so he is healthy. So in an opening in a playoff starting lineup, DJ LeMahieu can play third base healthy. Mm-hmm.
That's like, fair.
I'm fully on board with that. Fully on board. But my concern is how often you're going to play him in the regular season. And that's why it could be – that's why I could say it's either one way, if he's healthy, he makes the Yankees that much better. But if he's not healthy again, it really holds the Yankees back of what they could really do.
Yeah, DJ, him being healthy or not healthy, you know, outside of Judge and Cole and Rodon and stuff, he holds the Yanks by the balls with his health. They could be a lot better or a lot worse. With or without him. It's a fair point, though, Rob. It's a fair point. I
don't want to see Josh Donaldson playing. I listen.
Neither do I.
Hopefully Anthony Volpe or Peraza can become wizards at third.
Yep, same. All right.
Who do you got?
I got Gleyber Torres, Rob. I came in here on this pod last August or in August, whatever, and I absolutely – we killed him, myself included. I really thought he was gone. I was like, this dude has played himself off of the Yankees. He will be gone after this year. He's terrible, yada, yada, yada. Given he had the worst August or the worst month of baseball I literally think I've ever seen. The numbers were astonishing. But if you really look back at 2022 as a whole for Gleyber, It was a pretty decent year when you're looking at it, especially in terms of grading second baseman across the American League. There's really not many above average second baseman, so I think you could pretty easily make the argument that Gleyber is an above average second baseman. Last year he played 140 games, his most since 2019. He had a 761 OPS, his most since 2019, a 451 slugging, by far his most since 2019. Getting on base at a .310 clip with a .257 average, and home runs came back after 12 the last 2 years combined. He had 24 last year. So, dude, I think there's a world where Gleyber also, he's made it known. He's like, hey, I want to be with the Yankees. They don't give me contract extensions, yada, yada, yada. He gets very upset about the trade rumors, all this in the third, blah, blah, blah. Go out there, be 2019 or 2018 Gleyber, and have an 800 OPS. I think his OPS, Rob, outside of the month of, if you don't include the month of August for 2022, was sitting at like 820 or 818, something like that. That's pretty good. So if Gleyber can be consistent and not do what he did last year in the month of August for a 30-day period, you lock up second base, bro, freeze up DJ to, you know, potentially third base, DH, first base, whatever. It makes things easier for the Yankees. It makes your name not get tied to trade rumors, potentially. It makes your feelings not get hurt. And then, hey, maybe you got something to stand on if you go out and kill it this year and you want a three-year extension. We saw some crazy...
What about an eight-year
extension? I was going to say, we saw some crazy take the other day, Rob. Eight-year, $100 bazillion extension for Gleyber. I'm not there yet. Yeah. I'm not there yet. Not even close. But
go out and win the MVP, and I'll be there.
Listen, dude. If Gleyber does 2019 Gleyber and hits 38 home runs and has an 870 OPS, I will be screaming from wherever.
The mountains.
Saying extend Gleyber. Not for 8 years, but I will be saying give this dude 3-4 years. Maybe 5. I don't know. But I think Labor could hopefully have a very good year. He's coming off of, you know, the best year that he's had since 2019. So yeah, I think he can really uplift the Yankees potentially if he plugs that hole at second.
Yeah, it's a big prove it year for him for sure. All right, let's cap it off with this fun little segment that I wanted to do. We didn't mention any of the three guys that
that I said the world there wouldn't be a world where they'd all play again.
Yeah. But it's looking like they probably will have a spot. Yeah. Some there of them will have world. A spot. So we're talking about Josh Donaldson, IKF, as well as Aaron Hicks, and particularly looking at shortstop, third base, and left field. So I wanted to play a fun little game of who will be starting at each of those positions between left field, shortstop, and third base. Optional could be second base because that kind of plays into it of like where they could go. So like, you know, if DJ's playing there one day or Glaber, so that makes it a little more challenging of like how you shift it around. But I thought it would be interesting to say, look at opening day, where each of those guys will be playing, June 29th, which is game 81, the halfway point, and starting in the playoffs. So
let's do it.
I will start opening day. I'm saying it now. I know there's still spring training time, so obviously I have to see if Peraza plays well and how that shakes out. But I'm going to just go bold right now on March 2nd of who I think will start opening day. I think IKF will be at shortstop. Josh Donaldson will be at third base, and Aaron Hicks will be in left field. The lineup that we saw yesterday in their thing that had some people freaking out. I really think that's what they're going to start. That doesn't mean that it can't change.
Well, we know it'll change.
Yeah, but that's who I'm going with for opening day. Who do you have?
Mine's probably just hopeful guessing at this point, but I do still think it's Peraza's job to lose. I think if Peraza puts up a decent camp, he's the starting shortstop. Aside from that, I got a weird noise going on in my ear right now, but I think Peraza at short. I do think DJ will start at third opening day to please us, give us Glaber at second, and
it's good guess.
I think Hicks will be in left. I do. I don't think Waldo's going to be the left fielder.
All right.
Unfortunately.
June 29th, game 81. I believe Oswaldo Peraza will be playing shortstop. Oswald Peraza will be playing shortstop. Oswaldo Cabrera will be in left. And Josh Donaldson will still be at third base.
Fair.
Who do you have?
Shortstop, I still got Peraza. I think he's going to be the starter for the majority of the year. I got Waldo in left because eventually, you know, the heavens will be calling for Aaron Hicks and Boone will pull him in the middle of the game to save himself from any more embarrassment. Oh my God. And third base, Rob, on June 29th, game 81, will be Anthony Volpe.
Wow.
I don't think Donaldson's going to play third the whole year. I just have no faith in him. And I think I really think that between Volpe, Peraza, and DJ, like, there's just no way that Donaldson can stay at third. I don't think so. I know they don't want it to. Maybe they cut him, dude, at some point. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be on the team the whole year, yeah. Or he's going to be starting the whole year.
Yankees don't typically cut those contracts.
No, they don't.
I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to
that. Yeah, boy, I definitely wouldn't be opposed to it.
Starting in the playoffs, I think Oswald Peraza will be at shortstop. A trade mystery man will be in left field. I don't know. We should say Ian Happ or someone like that. Yeah. I don't know.
Ian Happ's been rumored forever.
He's been the one that's been going for a while. So a trade mystery man in left because we have to assess, in August, they'll probably make a trade at some point. And then third base, I am praying will also be DJ LeMahieu playing and starting in the playoffs. And I think you have the exact same thing.
Yeah, similar. So I have no idea who will play left field in the playoffs.
So, dude, this is going to be –
maybe Aaron Judge.
I like to get these predictions out now. Maybe I'll try – after we release this episode, I'll tweet it out And we'll put that out just so we have it on documentation. Yeah. And then we'll revisit it at each of these dates, which will be funny.
Maybe it'll be Aaron Judge and Left, dude. Maybe that's my guess, actually.
That would be, dude, Judge and Left to start opening day.
No, in the playoffs. Because that would make sense. Yeah, I'm changing my answer. It's Judge.
Okay.
I'm going to update it on the doc, especially if it's going on the Weber net.
But yeah, fun little game. No one's right at this point. Nope. We just have to wait till they make the lineups. But it's an interesting conversation to be had. So the Yankees are playing today. It's not on yes, but they play tomorrow. I think they're playing Team USA tomorrow for like a scrimmage or something.
I did not know that. That's pretty dope.
I saw it on the Webernet, but they got. Games are being more televised, so that's exciting. So we'll be able to watch Higgy a little bit in the WBC. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be releasing more frequent episodes as obviously we get closer.
Oh, we're in go.
I'm very excited for more of these games to be happening and more of the news to come out, and I am patiently waiting to see who the opening day lineup will consist of.
Yep.
Tyler, you got anything else?
Probably the most important thing that we didn't touch on is the Blue Jays are getting rid of their their home run jacket, thank God.
Oh, thank God.
Disgusting jacket.
Thank God.
Sweaty
disgusting.
Humans.
They never washed
Gross.
It. Gross.
Team's full of frauds, Rob.
I know. You got some people riled up in the comments on TikTok.
Did I?
Yeah.
Fucking frauds.
It's,
Team sucks.
I don't disagree with you. They gotta prove it before we could say.
Just, I don't know, win a playoff series. It's not like the Yankees have done much more, but. You know, shut up, Toronto.
They haven't given up a well.
They just talk too much. If they didn't talk so much, I wouldn't care. And if Bo Bichette, I mean, that guy just drives me nuts. But
fair. All right, that's it for episode number 133. We appreciate you guys for listening. As always, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forgetting what platforms we're on right now. Follow us on Instagram at 4TrainSavages as well as TikTok at 4TrainSavages and on Twitter at 4Savages. So thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time talking through all the spring training news. Hopefully we'll get some even more updates over the next course of weeks and stuff. And I can't wait for opening day. Thanks for listening.